Also so sehr nicht, was er bachi chesl shlag, aber beim Yehudim sech, der Shabbos daf chav tes. Yehudim Rav gives us three cases of fueling a fire on Yom Tov where there is machloikis. Number one, says Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to fuel a fire with whole kalim, but not with shivrei kalim. So a keli that broke on Yom Tov, you would not be allowed to use that shivrei keli to use to fuel a fire. Because it's noilad, the shivrei keli, the shard, is noilad. Shimon says you can even fuel with the shivrei keli, he doesn't hold of noilad. Next, Rabbi Yehuda says you may fuel a fire on Yom Tov with whole dates, but not with the date pits after you've eaten the date, because although they existed before Yom Tov, they were hidden. And then at the onset of Yom Tov, you couldn't see them, and now they're exposed, and therefore they're still considered to be noilad. Rav Shimon says you can even use the date pits after you ate the dates. And finally, the third case, Rabbi Yehuda says you can fuel a fire with whole nuts, but after, you know, whole walnuts, let's call it, but after you eat the nut and you have just a nutshell left, you would not be allowed to then just use that, because again, that's noilad, even though they were exposed when Yom Tov came about, but since they were considered a food when Yom Tov came around, and now, because they were protecting your food, and now they're no longer considered to be a food, they're just considered to be a shell, it's considered to be noilad, and therefore you couldn't use it now to fuel a fire. Rabbi Shimon says that you could use it to fuel the fire, even the nutshells as well, because again, he does not hold that noilad is usur. The Gemara says that Yehuda actually never heard this directly from Rav, but rather it was inferred from a story that once happened with Rav. Rav was once eating dates during the week, and when he finished with the dates, he took the pits and threw them into a fire. Rav Chia told him, had this been on Yom Tov, it would be usur. Rav didn't reply to Rav Chia. So Yehuda felt that because he didn't reply, it must be that he agreed that the case of the date pits would be usur as noilad on Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, was Rabbi Yehuda right? Meaning, did Rav really accept what Rabbi Chiya told him or not? The Gemara trusts being a raya that on Yom Tov, we find that Rav took the date pits and threw it to animals, again, which would be muksa if you hold of noilad. So it must be that he held that they were not noilad, and therefore they were not an issue. So it must be he argued with Rabbi Chiya. But the Gemara says, it could be that Rav only did that with dates that were not really fully ripe. So the part of the date was still sticking onto the pit. It didn't come off fully. By Bazoi, those pits are still roi to be eaten by a human, by a person, the fruit that's on it, and therefore they're not muksa. Maybe that's why he held it, he was allowed to throw them to the animals, or the same would be to a fire. But had it been with no fruit on it whatsoever, it could be that he would agree that it would be usur, it would be noilad, and therefore it could be he did agree with Rav Chiya. Rav Shmuel bar Barchanai asked Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yehuda, it says you're not allowed to be masikin, they can't start a fire, you can't light a fire or fuel a fire with shivrei kalim. But now once, if you put in a full, but you are allowed to use full kalim, but once you put in a full keli, it immediately when the fire catches on, it becomes a shivrei keli. Abazoi said at that point you can no longer move it, you can no longer turn over the fire or do whatever you have to do. Mara says you're going to have to do like Rav Masna said, that you would have to add regular mutter dika firewood on Yom Tov, and then that would be batel mevatel the other shivrei keli, and that's the only way that you'd be able to do that. Rav Hamnuna explains machlokes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is totally different than we learned until now. He says we're talking about, so again, machlokes in the Mishnah was whether or not this wick is mekabel tuma, the wick formed from a beged is mekabel tuma. He says the Mishnah is talking about a cloth that was less than 3x3 tefachim and it was put to like an insignificant use. For example, based on the Mishnah, plug the pipes of a bathhouse to use to handle hot pots, to clean a mill. And then this beged was taken and thrown over a peg, over a hook in the wall or behind the door. So Rabbi Eliezer says the fact that he doesn't throw in the garbage shows that there's significance here, and therefore it's still mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva says that the fact that he doesn't put it into a box or put it away into a cabinet or onto a shelf shows that it's insignificant, and therefore it loses the status of a beggar, and that's why it's not mekabel tumah. Zok the Mishnah, a person can't fill an eggshell with oil and then make a little hole in it and put it on top of a nair so that it should drip in a whole Shabbos and add oil, because we're afraid that you may take some oil from that eggshell, and in which case you're stopping the oil from going to the candle and you'll be over mechabe. That's al zegzer, you can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. He says you don't need a zegzer. Now, if a potter comes and attaches the contraption to the nair, it would, even the Tana Kamara would agree that it would be mutter. And the same machlekes would be even if the upper contraption was made of pottery. It wasn't just an eggshell. Third case in the Mishnah, a person, you can't fill a bowl with oil, put it next to the nair, and have the wick from the nair go also into the bowl, so therefore it should pull in and draw all the oil from the bowl, because we're afraid, again, that you may come to take oil from the bowl over Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter in that case as well. Or explains all the cases are necessary, because in the case of the eggshell, the oil doesn't get disgusting, but in the case of the earthenware, it does. And but the second case of the second case, at least it's not next to it. It's not spaced between. Meaning the third case is a space between the bowl and the nair, more of a reason to be geyser. But in the second case, it's less of a reason to be geyser. That's why all three cases are different. Misha said that if they're attached by a potter, v'im chibra hayoitzer mitchila muter. But the Raisa says it doesn't have to actually be done by a potter. As long as it's done professionally, it's well attached, that's enough. Rice explains that Rabbi Yehuda based his shita on the fact that he was once somewhere for Shabbos where they did this contraption, and Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanim were there, and they didn't stop him from doing it. The Chum said, that's what you're based on. That's wrong. That was in Nitzah's house, and Nitzah there was reason over there, and therefore over there was no reason to be geyser, but regular people would have to be geyser. Based on this, Oven Sipiro actually, one time when Oven Sipiro was schlepping a bench, even though it was a tile floor, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar made a machor to stop him because he saw what happened, like over there in the case with Rabbi Yehuda in the base Nitzah, how no one made a machor, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda came out what he felt was wrong lahalacha, and therefore he made it sure to be meicha over here. Rabbi's machleg was Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi said that if Shimon allows schlepping a bench or something like that, only when it's too big to be carried, but if it can be carried, Yanala, he wouldn't allow you to schlep the bench and make grooves. Ula says that Rabbi Shimon says even when it's a small thing, it's not a problem. Even if it can be carried, still you're allowed to schlep it. Rabbi brings a raya from a Mishnah to Ula, and it's to Yufta, the Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah to Yufta.